Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 22. And there's 30 verses in this chapter. And this chapter has to do with what?
Different laws regarding your neighbor.
Regarding your neighbor. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. And that doesn't mean to love the devil. It means your neighbor, somebody that really wants something from the Lord, somebody that receives from the Lord. Because it also says in the Bible to give no place to the devil. Okay, so the devil has nothing in the Lord, nothing whatsoever. And so, Father, let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless, to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service, Father, this chapter. Pour out your spirit, anoint your word, and anoint, Lord, any commentary that you give me. Open the ears of the hearer that hear this tape to receive the power from and the strength from your word to stand another day in victory in this wicked world, this demon-possessed world. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Chapter 22, Deuteronomy, verse 1.
Okay, King James Version. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. Verse 2. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again.
Right, and this means also that in the event that you see something that belongs to somebody else, and you know who it belongs to, that you're not to just say, finders, keepers, you know who it belongs to, and you're to take it to them. Amen?
Amen.
You're to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you're not to be, you know, when you're in a church or you're in a person's business, you're not to think of yourself so high and mighty that you can talk down to anyone in the church. I have had to put a person out of this church. What was her name? Candace, because she thought that she was doing a marvelous job. Sometimes you see these people acting like Miss Efficiency or Mrs. Efficiency, and they're just swishing around the church and just acting real snotty and with some kind of an attitude. You know very good and well the devil is talking right to them, and they're listening real hard. And then because they think they're doing more than anybody, and really, they're not doing anything. And it may be the first day that they've ever picked up a pencil and attempted to do maybe one or three or four receipts into a book. And then they start acting that like they have the authority to start talking down to people that have been working constantly every day of their life in the church. Well, this kind of person, that's exactly what this person was doing, Candace. And this is my flock that the Lord has given me, and he did not give it to her or to Amy to talk down to people. Because, first of all, those people don't hardly do anything, but they actually try to subvert the church and have done that for years. And there are days in this church, her day is over with. And Amy's day in this church is very nigh, maybe today. Because you're not to be talking down to people in my church. If somebody's doing something wrong, you report it. If you take it upon yourself to start talking down to somebody in this church and causing people to be miserable, you'll have to be put out into the world. Now, the Lord told the people of Israel to go into Canaan land and destroy every single one of those people. And they didn't do it. And those people have been causing trouble and have been murdering and killing Jews ever since because they didn't put them out. And they've led the people of Israel astray for centuries now because they didn't do what the Lord said. Now in the New Testament, in the last days, the Lord in the book of Revelation tells us to measure the people up in the church and to put them out if they don't line up, if they would refuse to humble themselves and to submit themselves unto the rulership of the pastor, that they are to be put out of the church. So this is the same as, of course, we're not killing these people. We're not, but they are Canaanites, Pezerites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and all the other Canaanites, the tribes of evil people in Canaan. And I look at people that do that sort of thing, and I'm looking at Canaanites, evil people that have to be absolutely put out of the church. Otherwise, they're going to be a plague unto me and all the people in the church from now on. I have to obey that commandment. The Lord said to put those unruly ones out. When you see people that refuse over and over again to keep the commandments of the Lord, and they start walking around with a real uppity type spirit, and you know that they are just wicked, evil people, and they have caused many people to fall away from the Lord. They just leave the church. They have a tendency to make people want to leave the church because everybody, if they don't know they're stupid and that they're possessed with the devil, well, then the person automatically thinks, well, maybe I'm of the devil and maybe they're right or something like that. And they're not right. Now, this chapter here is telling about how you're supposed to treat your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this particular person has gone into people's dresser drawers and thrown things out and all that sort of thing. Wasn't she the one that did that,
yes.
Amy? She's really like a demon-possessed person in this church. Now, her mother and dad, her stepdad, are about the same. Her real dad is, just gave up the Lord to be a drunkard. And her sister just made all kinds of confessions of terrible things that she's been doing. And I don't know how anyone, after having done these things for all this amount of time, could be walking around here swishing around like she's really something or that she's somebody in this area has offended her. What has anyone done to her? Nothing. Except rebuke and reprove her when she has done something wrong. Now I'm warning her that she's going to be out of here today. Because God said to put the Jebusites out. He said to kill them, but I mean, we don't do that in the New Testament. He says, set them out with the Gentiles. Now, I would like those two letters to be read from her mother and her stepdad on this tape so that people that are hearing this message tape over in Europe, over in India, over in Africa, and all over the world can see what you must do in a church in order to keep the church healthy and to keep the church prospering. Because the Lord did not let the Jews prosper when they're disobedient to him. And the Lord is even more strict today with people that know the Old and New Testament because we know that God is not a God that you can fool around with. So come over here, Jeannie, and read that into these mics. After I set them out, you may feel sorry for them, but this man has sabotaged this church, and so has she. Okay, so go ahead and read it.
To Pastor Tony from Don Davis, I understand why you have to do this, and you have been far greater than any father I had before I came to this ministry.
I had no desire to put people out of the church, but they keep pushing the envelope with me. And when people just keep pushing it, then, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm going to not do what the Lord says. I warn you enough, and then after that, you have no excuse. And when the Lord gives me the signal, get them out. That's when I get him out. But this man deliberately has taken like 10 years to fix a building, and he's supposed to be, and he stays in his house until 1 o'clock in the afternoon with his wife while the rest of us are all working. And then he's draw that broke the camel's back was when he'd been over at one of the buildings there for anywhere from 6 to 10 years. And I sent several of the sisters over there to check it out to see how much of the building, if there were any things that needed to be done, because an appraiser was going to come over and we were trying to get the building refinanced. And so I sent 5 of the sisters over to give me a report. And he started saying that they were possessed with the devil because they were reporting to me the things that I wanted them to report to me. And I couldn't understand why a person, when the Lord says for me to diligently search out everything, this man was anti-Christ. Christ tells me to do something, and then he calls people the devil for doing it. And so those kind of people have to go. Then his wife was doing the same thing and teaching her boy, Amy's brother, to say that Melissa was possessed with the devil because she was reporting the things that needed to be done with the house, her and 4 other sisters. And it was just an honest attempt to try to find out what needed to be done so I could find out how quickly I could bring the appraiser in. And they jumped all over these people for coming over to help him and everything else. And on top of this, the man sabotaged the house that I live in and wiped out the upstairs area, didn't put insulation down. And the mother says, well, you just can't, you know, that Tony, he just comes after the devil. And I mean, he just, you can't stop him. Yes, you cannot stop me from coming after the devil, all right? But I can stop you, and I did, and I put him out of the church. Okay, now all of a sudden here they're making these apologies, and oh, I know you were doing this, and so on, let us come back. Why do they want to come back? It's because they don't want to work. They don't want to go out in the world and work. He wants to lay around and play house until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then get up in one of the church's vehicles and ride around, and then go and say that he's doing a lot of work to his wife. And so he's doing so much work that we don't miss him, okay? That's the kind of work he does. He supposedly, with a bunch of others, put up a little wall around a swimming pool that I built for the kids. And somebody leaned on it, and the thing fell over because he didn't put rebar in, like I said. Okay, these are disobedient people, and they don't have the interest of the neighbors. You know how you're supposed to treat your neighbors? Amen? Your brothers and sisters, you're supposed to love them? Amen?
Amen.
And so the man is discouraging everybody in the church, and so is the wife. And so is the sisters. Okay, so start from the beginning and read it fast.
To Pastor Tony from Don Davis, I understand why you have to do this, and you have been far greater than any father I had before I came to this ministry. Having to leave hurts more than anything I've been through.
Yeah, it hurts because he can't lay around anymore. He has to go to work because he's got wife and kids to support. Now, then what else? I gave him $2,000 to go. It was worth it. Okay, then what?
I want the entire church to know that you're 100% right and I'm 100% wrong. I should have been thankful that you had been helping me in courts and with attorneys. A nice home.
Right, I was paying. His children got taken away. This is one of the curses that the Lord put on him because he was just undermining the church. And so I was paying for attorneys to try to get the kids back. And then the wife that left him because he wouldn't fix their house up, she got him for $500 and some a month's alimony or child support. And the church was paying that for him and gave him a car and a big house for him to live in with his wife and all that. And he wouldn't get out and work and got very uptight if I sent somebody on a mission to go and find out what's going on in my church. Okay? Okay, then what?
A nice home, a good vehicle, and a beautiful church. I let things overwhelm me rather than take it to you and the Lord.
Overwhelm him? What? How did he get overwhelmed when he was laying in bed all day with his wife? That's just overwhelming, wasn't it? And then he got in the car. All the brothers said that he's just riding around pretending like he's purchasing something. Then he'd go home and tell his wife how exhausted he was. Okay, then what?
I ended up doing things in haste instead of unto the Lord.
Haste, yeah. He stayed in bed in haste. Okay, then what else?
Pastor Tony, if there's any mercy for myself and my family...
Well, I have to have mercy on the church and the people here. They can't see that kind of a testimony and then think, why is Tony Alamo leaving these people stay in the church and abusing us like he is and jumping all over us for doing what Tony says? If I let him stay in here, then nobody would do anything I'd say. Right?
Right, right.
And I want to get a work done for the Lord. We only live once. And in this one lifetime, I'm going to do everything I can to serve the Lord. And if he's going to try to stop me, he has to leave. And there's no mercy for him. The mercy I have for him is to slam the door in his face. He's going to have to go to work now. Because he has to make a living now. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Because the church has supported him and his wife and all those kids for years. All their kids, when they came to the church, all their teeth were rotten and everything, and I sent them to the dentist and got their teeth fixed. And the mother, I had new teeth put in her face, right? And it cost hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, all right? And so, I don't feel guilty at all. Mercy is to reprove them and rebuke them as I have. And you people that are pastors that are running churches, you better follow suit, because this is a commandment from the Lord to not let the devil destroy your church or to undermine your authority in the church. That's what he's doing, both of them. Then what else?
Pastor Tony, if there's any mercy for myself and my family, you'll see a change. If not, I brought this on myself. I will get up out of the mud.
No, just get up out of bed. I didn't have any reports of you in the mud. Just in the bed. Get out of bed and go to work, brother. Okay, then what else?
Pastor Tony from Sue Davis, I have always been extremely thankful for you and love everything about you. I have no desire to change or stop you. You've always been there for us in every way.
But she was telling people, you can't stop Tony. We got to try to stop Tony, but you can't. Because he keeps not liking devils. He keeps putting them out. We got to stop Tony from putting devils out of the church. When the Lord says, put them out. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you're not going to stop me. Sue Davis or anybody in the world, you're not going to stop me. I'm like one of these guys in the Gung Ho magazine, you know, Gung Ho. Get the devil, amen?
Amen.
Put him out. Okay, then what?
You've saved us from many dangers.
Yes, I have. Then what?
You prayed for Donna, and your prayer saved her life and mine.
Yes, her little baby was very in precarious, and I saved it. I prayed, and the Lord came down and touched the child. Even Marty Braswell, who is the construction man out here, he had asthma all of his life, and I prayed for him, and he says, if I never got anything else out of you from knowing you, he says, I just thank and praise the Lord, because I wasn't really able to breathe all my life, and now I'm normal.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I'm putting this on tape because I'm sure Marty will hear it. He tells everybody that. He tells the judges in town, attorneys, and all kinds of people. All right, then what else?
I deserve the lowest hell to ever turn against you.
I would think so, yes, because if I'm just doing good for you, then what's your problem? And the problem of your daughter, your son saying that, don't do what Tony says. You're possessed with the devil if you do what the pastor says. That's Antichrist, amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
I've always been so thankful that my children could go and learn from you. I was totally wrong for the things I said, and I do repent.
What did she say? She said, we gotta stop Tony. You just can't stop him. You can't stop me from serving the Lord and coming against the devil. That's right. So she's repenting for saying that, she says. But, I mean, how many times can you repent? If a person truly repents, they don't do it anymore. This is an ongoing thing for years now. And the Lord's patience has run out. He wanted me to put them out. Okay, then what?
I repent for letting things overwhelm me. Please forgive me.
Overwhelm. They get overwhelmed in bed from laying in there too long. You get bed sores if you lay in bed too long, you know? Did you ever see that? You go to the hospital and visit somebody that's been in bed, and they got big blisters all over from laying in the bed so much. They call them bed sores. Amen?
Amen.
They look like big bubbles on them. They just get overwhelmed with them bed sores. Then what?
I have no desire for myself or my children to be in the world. I know you're led of the Lord, no doubt. In the Lord's mercy, I would love to stay in the church. Praise the Lord, Sue Davis.
Well, I would love you too, also, if you could control yourself, but you're out of control. So I think the best thing to do, at least for a while, is to let you be out there and say, so you can learn how to work and do make a living for yourself. And get out of bed. I don't want you to get bed sores. All right? Bed blisters. All right, then what? Okay, let's go.
Verse 3. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost, and thou hast found.
Yeah, it's not lost and found. You know, finders keepers, losers weepers. If you find something that belongs to your brother or sister, and you know it belongs to them, get it to them right away so that you can be blessed by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, what you're getting is nothing in comparison to what you get from the Lord by keeping his commandments. You do something wrong like that and keep it, you don't know the wrath that's going to come down upon you. You'll wind up with nothing. Then what else?
And with all lost thing of thy brother's which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself.
Okay, now translation.
Different laws regarding your neighbor, verse 1 through 3. Quote, if you see your neighbor's ox or sheep wandering away, don't pretend not to see it. Take it back to its owner.
Yeah, don't take it into the butcher shop and have it drawn and quartered and put it in your freezer. They didn't have any freezers back then, but we're talking to you now, okay? Governor, okay, what else?
Bracket, this is what I say when you see things in the church that need to be done. Sloppy work done by, quote, brothers, unquote, and you see sin in the church, you have to report it to the Lord, the owner of the property. Report it to the leader of the church, the one who is supposed to have the rule over you, that you don't allow to have rule over you, end bracket.
Right, if you don't want rule over you, then you shouldn't be in the church, right?
Right.
Vamanus, or vamus. Okay? Get out if you don't want to abide by the rules, right?
Right.
It's not supposed to have the rule. They have the rule over you. And if you won't let them rule over you, then you have to leave because I'm not going to fight with a bunch of half-wits, okay, that think that they don't have to keep the commandments of the Lord. You do have to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I'm here to teach you that, all right? Then what?
Verse 2. If it does not belong to someone nearby, or you don't know who the owner is, keep it until the owner comes looking for it, then return it. Verse 3. Do the same if you find your neighbor's donkey, clothing, or anything else your neighbor uses. Don't pretend that you did not see it.
Yeah, or that you don't know it, that you don't know who it belongs to. And if you don't, you just keep it there. And keep it there, and keep it there until somebody shows up and says, did you see a missing cow? Or a donkey, or a whatever? And you say, as a matter of fact, I did. It's right back there in my barn. Come on, I'll show you where. Is this yours? Yes, it is. Okay, it's yours. The Lord told me to do this, and I do what the Lord says. Aren't you glad that I'm a person that listens to the Lord? I could have butchered this thing, and, you know, divided among my family and relatives. But I give it back to you because the Lord is good and he wants you to know that. And I want you to know that. But if I wasn't a servant of the Lord, I wouldn't do that. I would have just butchered it and kept it for myself. But this is a good testimony to somebody. Amen?
Amen.
When you find a wallet on the street, you know, there's identification in there and there might be $1,000. Or less, you know, even if it's $10 or whatever, or maybe a lot more. Well, you know the person who it belongs to, and you call them up and say, I'm a servant of the Lord. I found your wallet, and I'm, you know, I don't have a lot, but this is yours, and it's not mine. And so I'm giving it to you because the Lord tells me to. Okay, isn't that the righteous thing to do? And you'll see that God will bless you for it. Do it another way, your own way, and keep it, and you're going to be cursed. because that's disobedience to the Lord. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4.
Yeah, we do that all the time, you know. People have found wallets with a lot of money in them, and when you go on a trip, you got these
traveler's checks.
Yeah. Well, there'd be like thousands of dollars worth of those in a wallet or in a purse, and we turn it in with their identification. They say, oh, thank you so much, you know. And you don't look for a reward. You look for your reward from the Lord. If they want to give you something, well, that's all right, but you don't demand it. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Verse 6. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. Verse 7. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence.
Yeah, in other words, if you're building a house and you've got a roof that has a slope on it, you have to build also a thing that would catch somebody if they were falling off the roof, like a level part down below on each side. So if they slip and fall off the roof, they just stop right there. Maybe it's a 2 or 3 foot overhang above the door or something like that, to where they don't die. That's a commandment. Okay, then what else?
Verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled.
That's why a woman is not to be married to more than one man, because that would be like sowing all kinds of different seeds in her, and there would nobody know who the father would be of her children. And that's really an abomination. The wife is the garden, and the man is the farmer, the one that sows the seed. And the produce, the children, come out of her, from the seed that the one farmer planted. That's it. Not two or more. One. That's it. And when you see a woman that has committed fornication with many men or adultery, you'll always see that they're crazy. They can't receive anything as their minds are shot. And you'll always see them wanting a lot of dogs or cats around them. I mean, Susie told me that, and I'm tell you, I mean, every time I've seen one like that, a crazy woman or somebody that said they've always had a lot of sexual relationships. They were never married to just one man. And they're loaded with cats or dogs or both. Okay, go ahead. And they're crazy. There's a March hare. And what else? It's an evil spirit that takes hold on them and takes their brains away. Okay, what else?
Verse 10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together.
That's right. We yoke up with the Lord and not anyone else. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are the ox and we're worthy of our hire. Amen? The Lord says, take my yoke upon you, my work upon you, and not any other creature. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together.
In other words, the Lord doesn't like you to mix up something. That's the same as sowing seed, two different kinds of seeds or multiple seeds in a woman. Okay, then what else?
Verse 12.
Like polycotton, polyester, and cotton or wool, cotton, whatever. Don't do that. Then what else?
Verse 12, thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Verse 13, if any man take a wife, and go in unto her, and hate her, verse 14, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid.
I found her not a virgin, didn't what?
Verse 15, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. Verse 16, and the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. Verse 17, and lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Verse 18, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him.
Right, for lying, because if there's the token, if there's proof that she was a virgin by the blood on the cloth, then the man was lying. She was a virgin. Okay, then what else?
Verse 19, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, he may not put her away all his days.
Okay, translations.
Verse 4 through 19. If you see your neighbor's ox or donkey lying on the road, do not look the other way. Bracket, as the Jesuits in our church who say they're Christians, and bracket. Go and help your neighbor, get it to its feet, exclamation mark. Verse 5. A woman must not wear men's clothing, and a man must not wear women's clothing. The Lord your God detests people who do this. Verse 6. If you find a bird's nest on the ground or in a tree, and there are young ones or eggs in it, with the mother sitting in the nest, do not take a mother with the young. Verse 7. You may take the young, but let the mother go, so you may prosper and enjoy a long life. Verse 8. Every new house you build must have a barrier around the edge of its flat rooftop. That way you will not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your household if someone falls from the roof.
Right, so if it's a flat roof, then you put like a wall up on top so that somebody working on the edge of it won't fall off. But if it's the other way, you put, if it's a slope roof, well, then you put a barrier down there to stop them. The barrier is like a wall maybe 2 to 3 feet high, to where it's a flat roof. You working up there and you cannot fall off. And what else?
Verse 9. Do not plant any other crop between the rows of your vineyard. If you do, you are forbidden to use either the grapes from the vineyard or the produce of your other crop. Verse 10. Do not plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. Verse 11. Do not wear clothing made of wool and linen woven together. Verse 12. You must put tassels on the four corners of your cloaks. Regulations for social purity. Verse 13. Suppose a man marries a woman, and after sleeping with her, changes his mind about her. Verse 14. And falsely accuses her of having slept with another man. He might say, quote, I discovered she was not a virgin when I married her, unquote. Verse 15. If a man does this, the woman's father and mother must bring the proof of her virginity to the leaders of the town. Verse 16. Her father must tell them, quote, I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, and now he has turned against her. Verse 17. He has accused her of shameful things, claiming that she was not a virgin when he married her. But here is the proof of my daughter's virginity. Unquote. Then they must spread the cloth before the judges. Verse 18. The judges must then punish the man. Verse 19. They will fine him 100 pieces of silver, for he falsely accused a virgin of Israel. The payment will be made to the woman's father. The woman will then remain the man's wife, and he may never divorce her. King James Version, verse 20. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of her virginity be not found for the damsel, verse 21, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel, to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel.
Right. There's a curse on the country for so much adultery and so much murder, first-degree murder of children, and people just start killing each other because they see these motion pictures and they think that, oh, it looks like fun to kill somebody. And then they do it. There's a curse on you. There isn't anybody that can kill anybody that doesn't, their whole life changes afterwards because they've been turned over to a curse. God just curses them, and they know a change happens to them. And they know they don't want to live with it, but they can't shake it. It's like tying a dead body onto a human, and you can't shake it off. It just keeps rotting there. And you're thinking about it every day and all throughout the day because you killed a human being made in the likeness and image of God. And God wanted to live in that human being. And God puts a curse on you to where you just always live with that. Okay, then what?
Verse 23.
And then you go to hell for it. Okay, then what?
If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, verse 24, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die, the damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. Verse 25. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. Verse 26. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. Verse 27. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. Verse 28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found. Verse 29. Then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. Verse 30. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Translation, verse 20 through 30. But suppose the man's accusations are true, and her virginity could not be proved. Verse 21. In such cases, the judges must take the girl to the door of her father's home, and the men of the town will stone her to death. She has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home. Such evil must be cleansed from among you. Verse 22. If a man is discovered committing adultery, both he and the other...
If the woman says, well, you know, I was riding a bicycle or something, it must have something happened then. Or, you know, I fell down when I was... You're still going to get stoned to death, okay, because nobody... God doesn't believe you, okay? And there's all kinds of excuses. Or I slipped in the bathtub. And that's how it, I wasn't a virgin after that happened. Right? He says, just take her out to this and stone her to death. That's it. Well, you know, the girls today, they just have every kind of excuse, you know. There's so many of them that have just had these mishaps, you know, just horrible mishaps. Well, let me tell you, honest confession is good for the soul. Back then, there's no excuse. You just get stoned to death, that's all. Okay? If you can't produce evidence on the wedding night. You're stoned, and I'm not talking about being stoned on pot or pills or hashish or something like that. You're going to get stoned to death with rocks. And then what?
If a man is discovered committing adultery, both he and the other man's wife must be killed. In this way, the evil will be cleansed from Israel.
First, can you imagine how much evil is here in the United States? Well, we just saw a documentary tonight where there was all these different catastrophes that are hitting the earth. Everything from mudslides to hailstorms and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes, and every kind of thing, even avalanches and deaths on the sea. It's just so much that you can't even believe it. It's just everywhere. There's things going on the earth where God, and they say it's nature's wrath. God controls nature. It isn't nature, that's doing that to you. It's not Mother Nature either, because there's no such thing as Mother Nature. God created nature, and God uses nature to curse people, like these storms that are hitting Florida at the moment. What is this, 2004, and it's the month of September, and what day is this?
About the
9th. All these things that are hitting the whole state of Florida. God, he says, there's no Mother Nature, and it's not nature. God brags in the Bible that it's him that's causing these storms and these earthquakes, and all these foolish people don't even believe him when he brags about it. Amen? Avalanches. Mm-hmm. There's people out there, they say that the most people that die in avalanches is young people from 18 to about 26 years old, because they're really sports, you know. And they're out there, and all of a sudden they said that an avalanche comes down. It starts out 100 miles an hour. It's faster than a speed car, one of these race cars. And they can't escape it, and they get buried. And they say that if they last under there for more than 30 seconds, that they're dead. They can't find them, because they bury them sometimes 50 to 100 feet down. And just 15 to 30 seconds in there, you're dead. All right, so it's God, and he brags about it, you know. And they just don't believe God. But when God brags about it, he doesn't want to be known just as a God of love. He wants to be known as a God of wrath, too, and a God that hates, and a God that is a terrorist. And so they're trying to figure out a way to stop these tornadoes from just tearing people apart and these hurricanes. Forget it. If God wants to get you, he can just pull the breath out of your body anyway. So you can't get away from him. You better stop sinning. Amen?
Amen.
Right away. Okay, what else?
Verse 23. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, verse 24, you must take both of them to the gates of the town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will cleanse the land of evil. Verse 25.
How much hope do you think there is to cleanse this land from evil? As much adultery is going on in this world. Huh? It's cursed, and that's why all these curses are coming down. Then what?
Verse 25. But if the man meets the engaged woman out in the country, and he rapes her, then only the man should die. Verse 26. Do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no crime worthy of death. This case is similar to that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbor.
Well, then people will say, well, what about if the woman goes out there willingly? Well, there's no way to prove that, but God knows that. And if he does, then he'll kill the woman another way. All right, but this is the judgment that a person must do, is to kill the man. And then if she went out there willingly with him, she probably won't admit it, and so God will kill her some other way. Give her a disease of some kind. Something will happen to her, sooner or later. What else?
Verse 27. Since the man raped her out in the country, it must be assumed that she screamed, but there was no one to rescue her. Verse 28. If a man is caught in the act of raping a young woman who is not engaged, he must pay 50 pieces of silver to her father. Verse 29. Then he must marry the young woman, because he violated her, and he will never be allowed to divorce her. Verse 30. A man must not have intercourse with his father's wife, for this would violate his father.
All right. That was all the verses in chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, and now I've got some commentary.
22 verse 1 through 4. A man is not to hide or ignore the situation when he sees his neighbor's animals stray. This is the same thing as if you find somebody's wallet and you see identification in there and you keep the money or the ID or anything, even the wallet itself. You are not to pretend you didn't see it. In this case, it's talking about when your neighbor's animals stray. He is rather to take action and retrieve the animal. This law addresses the natural human tendency not to get involved, as people in the church see things that need to be done on a job and they don't have enough help and they don't want to get involved to call me so I can get them more help. Then the job takes around 10 years.
Yes, this, when I wrote this, this was pertaining to Don Davis and others like him. And then when you get him the help, he rails on them for coming over there because what they're going to do is see that he's just loafing. He doesn't want help. He doesn't want anybody to show up. Well, he's out of the church anyway. Okay, nobody needs that kind of a person in the church, right? Yeah. Those are just users, loafers. Then what else?
They use that as an excuse. They just don't want to go to another job. This is evil. Chapter 22, verse 5. The basic principle presented here is that males and females are to honor the dignity of their own sex and not attempt to adopt the appearance or role of the other by a male wearing female clothing or a female wearing male clothing. This verse clearly forbids transvestitism, which is a deviant form of sexual behavior. 22 verse 6 through 7. This law taught Israel basic food conservation. 22 verse 8. The requirement for a parapet, bracket, a retaining wall or protective barrier, and bracket, on the flat roofs of houses was a demonstration of concern for the value and protection of human life. 22 verse 9 through 11.
See, God cares for people, and even roofers, men of a baser sort. What else?
These miscellaneous laws teach the importance of maintaining disciplined order. 22 verse 12. The tassels designate the twisted thread attached to one's garments. See notes on Numbers chapter 15 verse 38. 22 verse 13 through 30. These miscellaneous laws pertain to the sanctity of virginity. Verses 13 through 21. And the penalties of illicit sexual intercourse or sexual behavior, verses 22 through 30. The latter section is an elaboration of the seventh commandment, Exodus 20:14. Quote, thou shalt not commit adultery, unquote. 22 verse 30. Quote, shall not, uncover his father's bed, unquote. Means no man shall encroach on his father's marital rights. 22 verse 5. One of the ugliest results of rebellion in our time is the confusion of sex roles. It is unequivocal on this point. Don't reverse sex roles. Men, rejoice in your maleness. Women, celebrate your femaleness. Be the gender God intended you to be, in your appearance, in your clothing, and in your thinking. Outside of these parameters, meaningful recovery is impossible. 22 verse 13 through 30. The home is a vital concern to God. He cares about marital faithfulness and purity. He spells out all of these regulations to demonstrate that the marriage relationship is of great and holy importance. Those of us recovering from dysfunctional families need to understand God's pattern of marriage. Marital fidelity is the only means of establishing a healthy family where members are characterized by maturity, wholesomeness, and wholeness also.
All right, that was chapter 22 of Deuteronomy. And we'll be doing chapter 23 tomorrow. Until then, you know, keep looking up, keep looking into these scriptures, and keep reading the Word, remembering what the Word has told you. These are the commandments of the Lord, and it's so easy not to do these things, to not commit adultery, to not commit fornication, not to rape anyone. It's so easy not to do that, not to have sexual relationships with your father's wife, not to sow seed, two different kinds of seed into anything. If you're going to plant something, cotton, plant cotton in your fields. If it's going to be soybeans, put soybeans. If it's going to be corn, put corn in there. And be good to your neighbor. Don't undermine them or do something evil to a church, like sabotage it or to anybody. Or don't be talking down to people in a church because they're not your people to talk down to. These people are under the jurisdiction of God and the pastor that God put over them. Not little snot-nosed girls or little snot-nosed boys or smart-aleck people in the church. Because when you do that, that means that you're trying to take over the church. You're trying to discourage people. You're trying to murmur and complain about things that they do, when in reality you're the one that's at fault, because you're out of order. You're assuming the role as the pastor, the teacher, the judge. Don't do that, because I really don't want to put people out of the church. We need as much help as we can get. We're the minority. But if you do, there isn't anything, you know, you leave me no alternative but to put you out. You have to keep the commandments of the Lord. All right, so meditate on these things day and night. In other words, think about them all the time. And praise the Lord.